Thanks for reading that, Rieta. It was not an easy passage to read. All right. Does everyone here know what Instagram is? Hands up who has an Instagram account. Okay, about half of us. All right. So just so that everyone is on the same page, Instagram is a social media platform where people take photos of their lives and they share them with their friends, and then their friends can comment on their photos. And it's fun for keeping in touch and letting people see what you've been up to. However, a lot of people are tempted to embellish a little to make their lives seem a bit better than they actually are in reality. So, for example, see this post here? This person has just made some cupcakes and is sharing a photo with her friends. And they're nice, clean, ordered, but when you zoom out, there's food all over the countertops, crying baby, dishes to clean. So she's showing on Instagram her life, which isn't an entirely accurate representation of what her life is actually like. In the next picture, we can see a neatly organized computer, notebook, strawberries. And when we zoom out, we can see the perfect cropping. There's a bit of mess there. We can see her toes. So she's standing up on her chair trying to get the exact perfect angle. So she's perfectly cropped out the mess all around. And lastly, this girl is obviously very fit and good at balancing. Well, maybe not so much. So, yeah, you get the idea, right? There's a difference between the part of our lives that we choose to share with the world and the part that we keep private. And we all have this private part that we hide, right? No one wants to show their inner thoughts because we've all got stuff we're ashamed of. I was thinking of a few examples of this, like when your friend gets sick, is the first concern about their well-being, or is it about whether you might have caught it off them earlier that week? Or when your classmate or colleague is recognised for their hard work, are you happy for them, or are you secretly jealous inside thinking, what about me? Do you ever look down on people because of the job they have or the clothes they wear or the people they hang out with? And how would you categorise your thoughts towards the other drivers during rush hour traffic? We all have these thoughts that are judgmental, envious, selfish, proud, twisted, and plain wicked. These are just a few examples of the stuff that the Bible calls sin. And here's a question for you. Would you like to have all of your inner thoughts shared on Instagram or shown on a big screen for people to see? No, no one would. That's the mess we try and push to the side and crop out. And cropping it out seems like a pretty good solution, apart from the problem is that we can't hide these things from God, which is a problem we need to fix because sin has consequences. We're going to come back and talk about this problem later, but first we're going to have a look at our passage. So let me first acknowledge it is a pretty weird passage to read, and it's a long, because it's a long list of people who died ages ago. And I was thinking, I know my great-grandparents because I met them, but does anyone know any of their ancestral line further than their great-grandparents? Yeah? Who, do you know your great-great-grandparents? Oh, wow. That's good. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So you have it, like, printed out on the wall somewhere or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, you've got it, but you don't know them, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this first century writer, Matthew, obviously thought it was really important to include this whole list, which is multiple generations long. And we might be bored by this, but for a Jewish person, it's the most interesting and necessary way to get to know someone. And you know when you first meet someone, you're like, what's your name? Do you live south of the river? What school did you go to? Are you married? It's all these questions are because we're trying to place them and figure out how to relate to them as who they are, so we do this background small talk thing. And well, this is Jesus's background, which helps us understand who he is and why he's such a big deal. And so the first half of the Bible contains hundreds of years of prophecies or promises about a king who would come to fix the inner mess, the stuff we were talking about before, the sin that we want to hide away. These prophecies said that a king would come from a particular family line, and this is the line we see here. Now, can you see at the start? It starts with a guy called Abraham, and that's in verse 2 in red. And then a little further down is King David in verse 6. So God promised Abraham that he would bless everyone through him. And then a few generations later, he promised King David that from his family line would come the perfect king to rule. And this king would get rid of our inner mess and shame and make us perfect. So who is this Jesus? In here we see Jesus has all these names and titles. So he's called Jesus, the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Emmanuel, which is later in verse 23. He's called Christ because that was the title given to the chosen king that they were waiting for. He's called Emmanuel, which means God with us, because he came to earth to be born as a human. And Matthew is pinpointing exactly who Jesus is by calling him son of David, son of Abraham. Now, one strange thing I wanted to point out to you about this list is the amount of women in it. And I've highlighted their names in pink because they're ladies. And it's actually very unusual to include any mothers in a Jewish genealogy, and particularly because these women all have some sort of scandalous circumstances surrounding them. I've heard them referred to as the four shady ladies. And each of them has a backstory that would make a great front page of a gossip magazine or a Netflix series. And Mary, too, would have been viewed as sexually immoral because she was found as pregnant before marriage. So just a bit of background information. Tamar was a widow who pretended to be a prostitute to trick her father-in-law into sleeping with her so she could have a child. Rahab was a woman from outside the Jewish nation, and she was a prostitute. Ruth was a non-Jew also. She was widowed and alone with her mother-in-law and desperate for a man to marry her. Bathsheba is the wife of Uriah. David committed adultery with her and then murdered her husband to cover it up, and she had a child as a result. These are four incredible ancestors for the coming Christ. So what does the inclusion of these women tell us about God? It tells us that God loved these women and that he doesn't care about their backgrounds. And I don't mean to let the men off the hook either, because Abraham was a liar and David committed adultery and murder, just to name two of them. And so look at this family list. If anyone has stuff that they want to be kept hidden, these guys do. So why didn't God choose a more upstanding group of people to be in Jesus' family line? Well, it's because he's making the point that he's come to save everyone, along with the fact that there are no upstanding and perfect people. But God is a God who cares about sinful people and who sent his son Jesus to save them. And it's such a glorious and massive thing that he's included these people in the line of the king. So what about you? Thinking about your Instagram posts or the side you choose not to share with people, what does God think about you? God loves all of us here the same way. These four women being included in the family tree of Jesus is proof that the blessing is for all of us. But are we good enough for God? No. No one is. You may not have committed adultery or been a prostitute, but all sin is serious. Like the lies you tell your family every so often, or the time you risked pedestrians' lives by texting whilst driving, or getting so angry at the people in the shops who got in your way, or for intentionally causing someone to feel unloved, or for judging someone as being unworthy of respect. Sin is serious because not one of us would want that video of our inner thoughts shown or posted online. And when I look honestly at my own heart and I see the pride and the envy and the anger that live in there, I begin to see that I truly am what God says that I am. I'm a sinner facing God's rightful punishment and anger. Sin isn't a popular thing to talk about in our culture because we're really concerned with self-esteem, but it's actually liberating when you can acknowledge it's the truth. And it doesn't matter how much effort that I try to hide my flaws and excuse my failings, I'm still a sinner. And God can see my cropped out mess around my well-presented life. So whether you're Tamar or Rahab or Mary or Caolus, none of us measure up. But God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus. Matthew wrote all these names down so we could see it, that a promise was made and that it was fulfilled in Jesus. Because as an adult, Jesus was hung on a cross to die. And when he was on there, he stood in for us and took the punishment that we deserved for our sins. He went through the worst pain instead of us. So if we trust in him now, God forgives us and makes us perfect. He deletes the mess and sin from our inner lives, and we're truly restored. What a wonderful God. Why wouldn't you want to come to him? If you're not a Christian, perhaps it's time that you looked into it. He accepts you no matter who you are or what your background, and we don't need to do anything to impress him, merely trust in the forgiveness he's offered through Jesus. And if you are a Christian, give thanks to God this Christmas time as we celebrate the long-awaited birth of our promised Saviour, King Jesus.